Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Hey, hey. Welcome back, everyone. And it's a pleasure to be with you again. I look forward to making podcasts, David, because I'm making things during this quarantine.
Actually doing something productive.
Wait, which doesn't bode well for the rest of my job. But there's a sense of like we record, it gets created, it's out there.
There's sort of a routinized way of going about this, right? That we know what to expect. We know how to get through it.
It comes out on Tuesday.
By the end, we have something and we can point to it and say, look, this is going down in the charts or up in the charts, as it were.
As it were. So anyways, just that I appreciate it because it's fun to make. And I guess that's kind of where I want to start with is this notion of creating or making. And just wanted to hear a story from you and the notion of like, what are you making? Are you making anything during this time that isn't necessarily quote unquote work related? You know, I'm making killer spreadsheets.
Making killer spreadsheets, writing great emails.
Right. Like something that sort of captures maybe different senses outside of your head and the thing that inputs the mouse, if you will. What's your making story?
Yeah. So I think, you know, to your point, right? I think our ability to make things sort of has in this time of uncertainty, some level of certainty, right? You do something in the end, you have a thing. And so for me, this last weekend, I was able to make carnitas. And I only cook, like, you know, I used to be a chef, right? And so I used to make these incredible elaborate meals, but now because of just how busy everything is, I cook once a week, right? Sunday, you have the time to do it. And I'm able to focus and sort of get lost in it, right? Like sort of get to do the thing with my hands, not think about it. And by the end, have this lovely meal. And so this weekend made carnitas, my own special recipe in the pressure cooker with, you know, lots of orange and lime and garlic and oregano. Wow. And then, so what, 45 minutes in the pressure cooker and then shredded and under the broiler for like 10 minutes to get that crispy crustiness that you have to have in carnitas. It was like sort of, again, the full process, right? It's sort of like you should get lost in it and not have to worry about like whether or not somebody's going to, there's a certainty to it that I know exactly what I'm going to get at the end. How about you?
The family here, we're trying to find ways to do things with each other at night. And we have a fire pit. And I say this to say, this sounds pretty mundane, but this isn't like our family type of deal. Like we got a fire pit from like a cousin and like haven't touched it in 4 years. But that's what the quarantine is. Hey, let's break out the fire pit. Shrug. Sure. You know, let's make s'mores. And so I had to like kind of dust it off and set it up. And it sounds incredibly mundane, but for my family, this is like a unique experience. And so the other night, we set up the fire pit and it was like 40 degrees. I think 50 degrees was a cold night, but, we made s'mores together and it's something primal about being around a fire. And I don't know, again, I can't speak for all families, but I have a person about to be a freshman in high school and someone who's about to enter junior high, two daughters. And they're kind of like that, if that makes sense. Like they're not really big on group gatherings.
They're kind of like that.
Right. And unless they have unless they have like a phone in front of them that they can watch TikToks and stuff, like it's painfully basic, right? It's so mundane, but having this ability to be around the fire and talk with each other, and it's not like it was super deep sharing, but just the making over a fire and being a little chilly, but we were together. It was really lovely, and again, this is stuff that we don't do. Like I'm not a camper,
right?
I'm not that kind of person. Like I'm not. I can wingman a camp thing, like, but you don't want me, like, if it was me and you in the woods alone, like, we're going to make it.
We would die.
I'd be like, dude, it's been a good run, man. It's been a good run. Like, I would injure myself before the Bears.
No, if it's you and me in the woods, man, we are not making it back. You know who we need and who would be actually great at the s'mores? Bauer. What's that? Bauer would be great at that.
Our buddy Stevie Bauer. Yeah. No, he's super practical.
Yeah.
It would be comical. Maybe that's a podcast. Drop us off in the middle of like Peninsula State Park with not, you know, like blindfolded and just record us. And like, what would happen is just me and you would be like, okay, I think this is what it works. Like, I think the sun rises in the east. All right. So let you know, like, it'd be like, I think, and it's all this stuff that we have paid attention to all this time. And now that we have to actually apply it, we're like, we're really hosed.
It would probably be like 70% right. But like the 30% we get wrong, probably be the most important stuff, right?
Like super crucial, super crucial. Like making a fire would be like, oh yeah, I forgot about the flint. I didn't know you needed flint. I thought you just rubbed the sticks together. That would actually be a compelling podcast. Wait,
that's not how it works. You just don't rub the sticks together.
There you go. That's a teaser, everybody, for Dave and I's pod. But before we get to that pod of throw me and David in the middle of Peninsula State Park and see what happens, we're actually really excited to have our guest coming up. Rosie Petrie will be joining us. She's a multidisciplinary artist from Milwaukee who works in the intersection of social justice, art, and storytelling. In her words, quote, as a woman of color making art, creating work is one of the few areas in life where I'm able to freely name, embrace, and honor my own identity. Using photographs, mixed media, textiles, and storytelling, I hope to contribute to the creation of long-term social equality and a truly free society. Rosie is not only a proud Public Allies alum, what's up, but also the artist in residence emeritus over at the Pfister Hotel, and has been doing really compelling work lately, such as the Thoughts and Prayers Virtual Community Arts Gallery, as well as a recent commissioned work from the Milwaukee County Executive Office called MKEWI. She's with us after the break. Rosie, welcome.
Howdy.
I got to tell you, Rosie, one of my favorite moments in the pre-quarantine time was the visit we had at the Pfister, and I got to tell you the tour you gave me of the hotel and of all the incredible art in the hotel, and just being able to spend some time with you was just a really, really lovely time before we were all stuck inside. Now we're all just inside and can't do anything. Which is a bummer.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, I mean, I think it's interesting that place, I went from like a kind of an environment that was really a complete environment to a different environment, which is like my home. And the things are so different, but kind of the same in the same way.
Right. But you don't have randos like walking by the windows, like peeking
in. No, you don't know that. You don't know that. I mean, I am married, so there's that rando. you know, might get a package. Who knows?
Really? Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us and letting us talk about your art and practice on our podcast today. I want to start, you know, as I was doing research about you, definitely checked your website, but also checked other places, and I found your statement on your art. And so I'm going to give you back. Hopefully this is what you wrote at one point. You said, quote, I stand in solidarity as and with the oppressed people of the world and hope to use my work as a respectful way of sharing valuable stories and lessons brought to the table. Given that the pandemic has amplified the suffering of those oppressed, it seems like your work is even more vital than ever. And so let's start with there. How is this affected or revealed to you about your art and practice?
I think what I found the coolest so far is that people are actually really looking at art and at artists in a different way. Mm. I think prior to the pandemic, people saw art as kind of a luxury thing, as something that lived in museums. But I think like the influx of like content that's being created by like artists, dancers, like videographers, people are really like pouring their creativity out into the world as like this cool sharing of hope, you know? And so I'm seeing art as this very, it's narrative, it tells stories, it's helping people process, it's creating a context that we're sharing in this experience. So I think that's something that's been really a big part of making art during this. Mm-hmm.
I also imagine, Rosie, as you're speaking, I imagine something that is cataclysmic and fear-inducing or just overwhelming, something of this, what I'm hearing you say is the ability to create art is creating a narrative, making sense of or reacting to. And that's what maybe people need more than ever than now, if not for themselves, but looking to folks to support them in their own crafting of reacting to it and understanding to it.
I think process. It's processing. As Public Allies alum.
Oh, okay. You named it. All right.
There we go.
Let's put it out there. Let's put it out there.
Yeah.
It only took a few minutes. It's fine.
Well, I mean, it's part of the thing. addressing a crisis of despair.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's not necessarily so much fixing a thing. It's not glossing over it, but it's helping people like name and identify and like witness their own experience as opposed to like letting life just happen to them.
What have you witnessed?
Oh, I have witnessed some interesting things. I look out my window a lot. I'm really, really pleased to be home actually, because I didn't have a window like this at the Pfister. Mm. So I get to look out my window at the second floor every day, or the first floor, the first ground floor. And I see the kids playing in the streets. And I see people going for walks. I get to watch all of the neighborhood wildlife. Like, we have cats, we have groundhogs, we have coyotes, we've got birds. Just like, I get to watch life. That's kind of cool.
I gotta say, in some of my moments of like, when I hit those moments of like, what are we doing in this crazy pandemic time of right now? And I'm able to look out this window of our home office and see our next door neighbor with their two kids, sort of like 9, 10 years old, and they're out playing. It sort of gives me the sense of hope, right? That like we are doing this for a reason, and yet life still sort of goes on outside. And in the same way that there's a tree right outside my window, and being able, I think this is the first time in my life where I've noticed the cardinals and the other birds that sort of like fly by and like, you know, hang out in the tree right outside. It's actually really lovely. And I've never sort of had that opportunity to sort of just stop and experience the life that's around me.
So I came across, you know, in reaction to this COVID, the pandemic, I saw your community arts, fiber arts project called Thoughts and Prayers, and would love to hear your take on that, or just to hear, because it's more than the product, which is beautiful. There's these beautiful pieces, but it's also these narratives that are either inspired by the pieces, and it feels like it's a conversation happening on so many levels. At least that's how it lands on me. And I'm sort of wondering, for you, sort of, can you talk about its origin as well as what has surprised you as it's unfolded?
Sure. So I originally started thinking about the idea of the Thoughts and Prayers project as like a self-paced workshop.
Yeah.
A lot of people are really interested in making art or being creative, and they don't necessarily know where to start, mm-hmm. or maybe how to do it. But I think that we all have the ability to do it. And if sometimes people just need a little nudge in the direction. So the project started out as replications of patterns of some pieces that I made, and kind of breaking down that process so that you listen to a soundtrack, and then you spent some of that time writing responses to reflections that I sent out. And then you took whatever you could find in your house and you used the pattern to make your own piece. And then that kind of got added to the community conversation so that people knew that other people were in a similar position. People are able to share what they feel, whether that's good or bad, whether they're scared, whether they're excited. They could share it. It was a little anonymous. They were still a part of something, but also there was not like a grade. It wasn't a contest. It wasn't like a giveaway. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like, okay, here's something that I can offer on the table. Pay what you want for it. If you want to pay me for it, that's cool. If you don't, that's also okay. Finish up what you're doing. Send it when you're ready. I've been really pleased that people have been so vulnerable. People have been really open and very honest about kind of where they're at. There's a lot of uncertainty, but also like a lot of hope. So I think that part has been really cool. And then seeing them all together as they kind of came in, that was a little bit overwhelming because I originally, like, this is the beta test because I've never done anything like this before. As you can tell, I'm not as technically advanced as some other people. But
I wouldn't know.
I wanted to give it a try. So I originally asked for 6 people to test out 2 separate patterns. The first pattern was the anatomical heart, and that's a bit more straightforward. Uh-huh. So that one I got a lot more responses for. And then the sacred heart piece was a lot more complex. So that one I kind of sent to specific people. I ended up sending it out to maybe 15 people.
Yeah.
I originally asked for 6.
Yeah.
And I got most of those back, and they're all really different. And people, some people did more than one. Some people asked if they could share it with like their kids.
Wow.
Like people are just kind of like taking it and doing what feels good, which is what it was made for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, it feels like, again, like it, my, I started with this notion of these dual sort of conversations. And just as you unfolded that story in front of me, I just sort of felt like it's so powerful to witness this, like the act, which itself is perhaps healing or sense making or something powerful that you invited people to do. They sent it back to you. You witness this act being shared back with you. And then you post it at Paradise Home, right? Which is your website. So other people can witness this. And it just is this almost this cascading of vulnerability in some way. Which much like a merry-go-round, like at a playground, you can jump on at any point, right? Like, or there's multiple ways to jump on. And it's just a elegant design, just a beautiful thing. Maybe you mapped it out, or how much of that was like, oh boy, like I didn't know, you know, that was going to happen, but it just was really lovely.
Well, thank you. I actually, so sorry about this, David. We're going back to Public Allies here.
David, go ahead. Go get a smoke, David.
I love it.
Okay. So, I did 2 years of Public Allies, and my first year I did direct service. It was very like public. It was very social. It was very like out in the world. And it wasn't quite exactly what I was looking for. My fellow year, I ended up with 2 placements. My second placement was at St. Emilion Lakeside, and it's called Phoenix now. And what I got to do there was to develop a curriculum for the foster kids that were in treatment foster care while their parents were getting their recertifications or their coaching. And at first, all of the people that I worked with were kind of like, are you sure? Like, the kids mostly just want to play basketball. If you just want to play basketball, that's cool. And I'm like, no, I think I'd like to do arts and crafts, right? First of all, like, I am a terrible basketball player. I don't know anything about it. And second of all, like, I felt like it would be really nice to inject something that felt a little normal into the lives of kids who were transient, who were moving from place to place, who weren't at the same school, who weren't with their families, who didn't have like a community of people that they could like learn life stuff from. So I kind of have evolved that experience over the last, maybe, I don't know, I guess 10 years, it's been like 10 years, and turned it into something that was a multi-sensory processing experience. So there's a written component, the audio component, the art component. Honestly, that's hit or miss. Like, some people don't like making art, and that's okay. But it doesn't mean that they don't want to participate or can't bring something to the table to reflect with everybody else.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, sort of hearing you expand a little bit more and build on the particularly the public allies piece. I'm not an ally, or I've never been an ally, but some of my closest friends are.
Doesn't mean you're in. It doesn't mean you're in, David. You're not in.
I don't know the handshake. I don't know any of that stuff, right? There's still time.
You need to collect signatures from me, Rosie, and about 15 other people. You know,
what I thought was so interesting as you told the first part of the story is I was actually very curious how your allies' experience sort of informed, right? Because it feels like sort of a fully baked engagement, right? That you had the art making, the music piece, and sort of it all sort of feels like it feels sort of the public allies ethos that I understand. I may totally not understand it, but it seems like the depth of it sort of has sort of all the different components of what an ally experience ought to be. At least that's just my perspective.
Well, so that the idea of like creating something to share. I'm not a teacher. Mm. That's like not a skill set that I have, which is also part of the reason the workshop is do it yourself. Mm. Right. Right. But for the development or the creation of something that I can share, I used both the Alverno Public Allies Matrix model to like think about how people learn differently and how we process differently. Like multisensory processing is super real. Mm-hmm. I happen to be really, really interested and engaged in music when I make art. I don't think I can just make art in a quiet room. That's not, it's not even a thing I want to do, you know? And the same thing with like writing, like just being able to like have a kind of theoretical direction. It lets you mosey, you know? So to kind of line those things up and then plug them into this kind of pre-existing structure of using a matrix, that makes getting to the finished product a lot easier.
And you have also had a really, one more, you know, around this time, a project I want to celebrate was the piece that was commissioned for by the county executive, I believe, MKEWI, right? And if I, it's an audio podcast, so let me describe it. It's much more powerful if you see it, but I'll describe it.
We can link to it.
We'll link to it, but it's using using American Sign Language, right, to spell the letters, but also has a of the state as well. Together. So could you talk about that project? Like, how does that come about and what inspired you to manifest it in that way?
Okay, so I met somebody who worked in the county executive office. I met Ray at a storytelling workshop for young for Black professionals. And Ray brought the county executive staff to the Fister, to the residency to visit with Bella and I, because they were working on their diversity and inclusion type programming. So they came and we like, you know, talked about art and we talked about our experiences. We both talked a little bit about culture. We talked about just like that experience, you know, and somebody in that group was a quilter and they were like, oh, we're thinking about doing these projects. Like, would you be interested? Like, what does that look like? And I was kind of like, we'll see, you know, and I'm not a great joiner. I struggle. I'm not a joiner, but I was invited to submit a proposal and it got accepted. And I wanted to make art that was representative of the people of Milwaukee without it becoming divisive. Mm-hmm. I used the hands because hands can be anyone's hands. Mm-hmm. And then those kind of like fundamental, like human motions that hands make them really relatable. So spelling out MKEWI. And having, you know, kind of the racial diversity, as well as there's cultural and textural diversity within the fabrics to have that as part of the representation. And then the map is actually, that's kind of a complementary piece. The map represents the Milwaukee County at large, but it's also something that's going to be used as like a partial fundraising tool for the Parks Foundation. Yeah. So like people like, that's something that's really cool about our city is we have these beautiful parks. We have an excellent park system. We've got a really diverse community. It's really segregated still, but it's still diverse.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should feel represented in that image.
It is gorgeous. And like all your work is gorgeous, but this is really gorgeous. And I just want to remark, when I look at the map, we'll link to it because there's nothing awesome like describing something audio. That right. should be seen. But I, for me, when I look at Lake Michigan, there's this cerulean quality that it looks like holy, like the sky almost, right? And, you know, it's not just water, but it's the sky. And for me, then it feels like the county's being lifted or it's soaring. Don't know if, I'm not sure if like, is that what you're trying to do? I'm just saying that's how it landed on me. Sure. And I just wanted to share that with you. And just, it was gorgeous. To me, that's what my eyes dropped you first, that blue, that incredible blue. But,
yeah.
So we get to tell me, no, you're on. That's totally not what
we've been sending Mac to art critic school.
I'm not a critic. I just like looking at stuff. I like look at things. I have
a painful confession that I'm gonna make, and I'm gonna tell you guys this. In a past life, I was an art critic. So I'm not gonna take anything you just said personally, David. Specifically, actually, I used to do music review, theater review for local stuff. So like. When I look at art and I think about art, when I experience art, I'm not necessarily looking for like a it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. It's kind of your experience. Yeah. The objective is actually just to make sure somebody has an experience. I don't get to say what that is.
Yeah. And I'm so glad, because I'm not going to share with you my YouTube music playlist at all. No, it's going to invoke feelings. So let's pivot to that. Think about Milwaukee County. I guess one more question I have before we kind of wrap up soon with you is this notion, what does it mean to create art in Milwaukee?
Yeah, for you.
You know, I don't know what it means to create art in Milwaukee. I'm kind of new to the front end of this camera, and I'm still learning what it means. I'm learning that we have a lot of art. I mean, I've known we've had a lot of art, but the quality of art that we have is, I would say, world class. It's competitive. We have incredible theater here. I love theater here. I love all of the music that we have. We have a lot of local musicians, writers, poetry. Like, we pretty much have all the bases covered in terms of like art in the city. So, I mean, I guess that's what it means here.
It's great.
You're among the vanguard of all everything you talked about. Because when I think of Milwaukee art, I think of you. So
I don't know. I think maybe that's something that is sad about what's happening right now is when people are talking about what they're missing, what they're really missing is the performance culture.
Mm.
Like they miss the culinary arts.
Mm.
They miss going to concerts.
Right. Mm.
They miss theater. They miss all of that stuff. That's what they miss. They miss the culture of experiencing performance together.
So I feel like, and I don't know if Mac and you have sort of made this agreement, but we're going to ask, and if you don't feel comfortable answering, we can cut this out.
I feel like this conversation just got interesting.
We're burying the lead if we have the current artists in residence at the Pfister.
I'm technically not the current artist.
Laureate. Wait, oh, no, you're emeritus.
Artist emeritus. Does the next one not start? Or
it hasn't begun, but my residency has officially ended.
Okay, so emeritus. The emeritus, or the immediate past artist in residence at the Pfister, without asking, what was that experience like?
It was like, do you guys watch Doctor Who?
I'm familiar with it.
I know the
characters. I know the characters. I know the characters. I know
he jumps in a TARDIS.
I know he jumps in a TARDIS.
Hold on to this.
Or she. I know she jumps in a TARDIS. I want to be with you. I want to join you.
No, it's a very Wikipedia.
I'll learn.
It's a very kind of a nuanced feeling, but like I guess it was surreal is the best way to put it, because it was a singular experience in that it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. Also, like, the nature of the place is singular, but also just like, that is so different from my reality. I've never experienced anything like that. And also to be like a person of color in a very large building full of like very powerful and wealthy people, and like, finding myself engaging people in ways that I never thought I would have to. It was really wild. Like, some really cool stuff happened. Some amazing things happened. I had some delightful fun. There were some days that were really hard. It was wild.
That's great. Everybody should experience it once, right?
I don't know if the Pfister wants me as their artist in residence. It's gonna be a lot of boy bands. It's gonna be a lot of boy band references in the 90s. I don't think that's gonna bring the brand down. I think that might bring the Pfister down. They don't want me.
I think it was a good experience. I think it was a good experience for reasons that were different than I thought going in. So like I said, I'm pretty new at like this side of the art world, and to try to make art in a room where people can just come in and hang out and like ask you like deeply personal questions at a moment's notice before you've had coffee. Like, that is like spiritually a lot. So, that was real for me.
Well, it's like, you're like, almost like, it's like a zoo almost, right? People come in and kind of prod you emotionally or your practice. And you're like, hey man, I'm just trying to do a thing. Like, why do I got to talk to you?
Well, that's just it though. That is exactly the thing, is you got to talk to them, but you go in there thinking like, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to make art and it's going to be like very productive.
Yeah.
I'm going to do all of the things. That is not correct.
I thought that was the most interesting story when we chatted was like, you know, this idea that like it was going to be super productive and you come in and do your stuff. And that was totally the opposite of the experience.
Right? Yeah, totally. I think I got really stressed out about that because like for myself, I'm a very like, I don't know, I'm a very goal driven person when it comes to making my things. I have like kind of a routine and a process and it looks like this. And I can give you a general estimate of how long it's going to take me. And it's like, here are the steps that I did, blah, 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 whatever. But when you're in like a hot pink room and there's like jazz music and blues pouring out and like people are traveling all over the world and have no idea that you're there, they're like, they're just taken aback first.
Yeah.
Then like the visual assault of all the colors. Like I like really bright, noisy colors. And the Pfister's so, it's very toned down. It's like that old elegance kind of thing. And my studio space was more kind of like the French Quarter. Going from the Pfister to the French Quarter was not exactly what people were expecting. So like that turn to come from like, we're at the Pfister, we're doing hotel things or business, or now we're looking at art and we're drinking champagne and we're like talking about, you know, the music. It's a very different thing.
As we wrap up this component, Dave and I have a special power. And that our guests, thank you for coming on. And part of the thank you, we get to make you the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee.
It's incredible. It's an incredible power.
Here's the curse or the downside. It's only good for the duration of our podcast, like for the 2 minutes. So we look forward to you. So you are now the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee. What do you think policy or law should be passed? It's only good for about 2 minutes. But you know, we'd love for you to be the czar. So here you are. What needs to happen?
I think I was thinking about this morning, and it was a very bizarre thing. I was reading that article that somebody took a real dig at murals the other day. I was reading that, and I was thinking about murals, and I was thinking about murals in public places, and I was thinking about historic murals in public places. And I thought about Diego Rivera's murals in the library in Detroit. Mm. And I think my czarist activity would include making sure that there is art accessible in public places that are free.
Mm.
I think that's really, really important. People need to be able to see beautiful things. Mm. They just do. I think that's a human right. Mm. You know, it shouldn't be something that is reserved for the few. So what's happening with the courthouse, I think that's really cool. I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see some more WPA style arts projects installed into community spaces so that people can enjoy them.
It was a glorious rain, Rosie. And David and I are committed to your legacy. Even though your role ends as czar, we will carry that forth as the work of Imagine MKE and making sure that art is accessible and visible and shared by all Milwaukee folks and all zip codes. I think that's something we can join you in. And we're in great gratitude for you taking the time out of your practice to talk with us on this platform that you tried to avoid so studiously. Where can folks find you? Where can our listeners find you?
My website is probably the first place you can look, www.thisisparadisehome.com. And I am on Facebook and Instagram at This Is Paradise Home.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rosie. And we're so sorry that we ruined your Zoomless streak over the last 8 or 9 weeks. But now you can do Zooms like everybody else.
I feel special. Like, I feel like I need to come over to stamp or like get a shirt. Like I was here.
I think that you should be less sorry about breaking my Zoom streak and more sorry about not having understood the Doctor Who reference.
Fair enough. Do the song, my dear. Do you feel it? Well, that was awesome. I have to say, like, even though that Rosie and I are both Public Allies alumna, alums. That's the first time I've ever talked with her. It's mainly been only through virtual that I, you know, sort of watching her work and seeing her share on Facebook. So it's really lovely to have a chance to speak with her.
Yeah, she's such, I think she has such an interesting take on the, on her role as an artist in Milwaukee, right? I think some of the, her responses, I think sort of reflect the sense of like uncertainty, right? Of like, she's achieved this certain level, right? You don't get to be the artist in residence at the Pfister without having some level of acceptance and cachet. And yet she sort of, I think, approaches it like, you know, this is just, I don't know what it all means, right? Like, I think in that level of like uncertainty and I would even say sort of like humility, I think is really I think is surprising of somebody with that kind of when her art is so, I think, so amazing, right? To your point, right? When you think
that's what I was, you hit it. Yeah. That's what I was really struck by. Like, she even named it. She's been a critic. She's been a music critic, right? And you don't create what she creates without having a high standard of technical excellence, as well as a really strong point of view, right? All this being said, she has one of the most inclusive ways about her, in the sense that art belongs to everyone.
Yeah.
Not just to see and experience, but also to do together. And that is just a beautiful, that is such a beautiful conundrum to be able to hold, and she holds it so gracefully.
Yeah.
You know what else people hold gracefully? It's listening to this podcast.
Listening to the show, that's right.
Did you see how I did that? You see how I did that? That's why we're number 288 in the world, or in the country, because of graceful segues like that. You know, if you...
Wait, they didn't teach you about that in the podcast class?
No, they didn't teach me about that in the podcast class. Sorry about that, Richie, over the go-getters. Thanks for you listening to another edition of the Imagine MK Pod. Be sure to rate us 5 stars, share a positive review. Just make sure people find us, because this is the stuff that Milwaukee needs to hear. And if you want to hear more things, or you have ideas for what type of arts and culture stuff you want us to talk about, email us at pod@imagine.org.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE, or on Facebook @imagine_MKE. Mention the pod on social media so we can make you a #imaginary friend, and you can let Mac and me know what the things are we need to know if we're dropped in the woods, so that we can survive.
Please. Because it's going to happen soon.
We need your help.